two of the simplest and most powerful expressions in English or in any other language are thank you and please. And today that's what I want to say to you in what I consider to be perhaps one of the most important talks that I've ever given in my life. Thank you, first of all, to so many of you joining us right now and listening to this Mass, for all that you are doing and have done and will do to elect people to public office in this great nation who know the difference between protecting life and taking it, who understand that the right to life is a right that the government cannot tamper with. Thank you for the sacrifices you have made to educate your fellow citizens on the positions of the candidates, because the positions of the candidates in so many races in the upcoming election could not possibly be more different, could not possibly be more opposed one to the other. And so many of these positions could not possibly be more opposed to everything we stand for in the Judeo-Christian faith. Brothers and sisters, thank you. And then, please, don't stop now. All the efforts that have been made up to this point to affect the outcome of the elections that will be held in a few days depend on what will happen in the next few days. Because candidates are not elected simply because most people agree with them. Candidates are elected only when more people actually vote for them. And it's what will happen tomorrow and the next day and the day after that and on election day itself that will be the opportunity for us and for countless others to cast their vote. Brothers and sisters, there is no doubt that you can make the difference in this election. When I say you, I'm talking about those here in this chapel, those joining us by television and radio and internet. The audience that we have together at this moment right now holds the outcome of this election in its hands. There is no question about that. 4 years ago, the United States of America chose a president by a margin of 537 votes. And does anybody think that it's not true for me to say that those of us thinking together right now, listening together right now, praying together right now, hold it in our hands to decide the outcome of this election? Of course we do. And it's going to be, again, by a razor-thin margin, perhaps even smaller than what happened 4 years ago. And do you know what that means? That means each of us bears a tremendous moral responsibility, not only to elect the right people, but to keep the wrong people out. You see, you can use your vote in both ways, and you can understand your vote in both ways. And I'm asking you today to prevent a catastrophe. I'm asking you today to prevent a monumental tragedy from happening. Because in this election here in the United States, in a few days, the fate of tens of millions of children's lives hangs in the balance. Why? Because, understand something. Things like the legality of abortion, which has already taken over 40 million lives in this country alone, 40 million deaths. Brothers and sisters, it's because of the Supreme Court that this has been allowed to continue. It's not because the American people want it. It's because in the hands of 9 justices on the Supreme Court, the decision rests. It's not that the Constitution originally gave them that kind of power. It didn't. They've stolen it. But the fact of the matter is that right now they are making those decisions. The next president of the United States will have the opportunity to replace 2, 3, maybe even 4 of the justices on the Supreme Court. We have gone longer now than any other period in American history without a change on the court. And a number of those justices are very, very old, some of them are under the burden of various illnesses. There are going to be replacements in the next 4 years, without a doubt. And there could not be a greater difference between the candidates in terms of what kind of justices they want to nominate for that court. The president nominates them. The United States Senate then confirms them. And it is in our hands right now to decide the ones who will decide who will be on the Supreme Court. So we've never come closer to actually electing the Supreme Court than we are at this moment. And for that reason alone, that you can prevent the killing of tens of millions of people. I want you to understand what's at stake here. You, by your vote, can prevent the killing of tens of millions of children, not just in the next 4 years, but in the next 40 years. Because the court could overturn the abortion decision. That is very possible. There are already cases moving up the court system that could end this thing. It's up to you. Nothing else is more critical than this. Nothing else. And so it's up to you to do it. An election is not a contest between candidates. Brothers and sisters, it's a contest between teams. A candidate can't win an election on his own. The contest is whose team is better motivated, better educated, better equipped, more ready to make the sacrifices that are necessary to be made. I'm going to give you a telephone number. It's to my office. I've told my staff that I'm going to invite you to contact us today for the following reasons. Brothers and sisters, we want to equip the team. We want to enable you, if you still are not sure about the positions of candidates on this most fundamental issue of the protection of life, then call us. We'll help you. Our number is 888-735-3448. It's a toll-free number, 888-735-3448. I'll repeat it again. If you have internet access, come to us at priestsforlife.org. And we've got information there about the candidates. There are some people still trying to decide, or maybe they haven't had a chance to research who's who and where they stand. The information is there. Now's the time. We have the responsibility to find out. And there's materials there that you can use to educate your neighbors and friends. And that's the other thing we need to do this weekend. It is so important. The next 72 hours are critical for us to get out the vote. What does that mean? That means you've got to get on the telephone and call your friends and call the people that you know are with you on these basic issues, that you know understand the kind of things I'm saying. Call them. Make sure they understand where the candidates stand, what the difference is between the candidates, how important their vote is. Make sure that they are ready to vote and make sure they actually do vote. What I'm telling you is, once you cast your vote, your duty isn't done yet. You have one vote, but you can influence hundreds of votes, maybe thousands. You've got to get on that telephone and talk to your friends now. Brothers and sisters, there's never been a more important moment than this. You've got to get on your email lists and email your friends with this kind of information. Influence as many other people as possible. Now, in some states, you're able to vote today. In Florida, for example, where I'm going on Sunday. I'll be down there Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. The polls are already open. They've been open for days and days now. You can vote today. For goodness sake, if you live in Florida, please vote today. Don't let anything that could possibly stand in the way happen between now and Election Day. Cast your vote today. And you have time now to gather and mobilize other people. Absentee ballots. If you're listening right now and you're homebound, you can't get out for whatever reason, make sure that you have gotten your absentee ballot. And if you don't know how to do that or where to go or what to do, again, give us a call. Call your local Board of Elections, but if you don't know how to reach them, we'll help you. 888-735-3448. This weekend, help is needed in many communities to hand out literature. There are people that are going to take to the streets today and work between now and Tuesday night, handing out flyers, going door to door, knocking on doors, pleading with their neighbors to vote. We need your help. We need your help to distribute flyers. Brothers and sisters, I'm making an appeal to you today. To the extent that your duties allow, put everything else aside between now and Tuesday night. Put everything else aside. Everything else can wait. If we're deciding the fate of tens of millions of lives, don't you think we can put a few other things aside for the next few days and just focus on one simple thing? Educate and mobilize as many voters as you can to elect pro-life candidates. That's the task. If you haven't done anything up to now, maybe you're feeling a little guilty by now. It's okay. The past is past. There's still time. Start now. Let's do it together. I told you, this is a razor-thin election. Razor-thin. A handful of people are going to decide the outcome. And you may be the one that can reach those handful of people. Maybe they don't get EWTN. Maybe they don't get the millions of pieces of literature that hundreds of groups have been sending out. Maybe it just hasn't reached them. But you can. Believe me, there are some votes that only you can influence. But I ask you to go for the low-hanging fruit. Some of you heard me speak about this already. If you have an hour to gather as many oranges from an orange grove as you can, what are you going to do? Are you going to start climbing to the top of the trees and picking the oranges that are farthest away? Or are you going to run through that grove and grab the ones that are within easy arm's reach? Obviously, you're going to get the low-hanging fruit, because the idea is to get as many as possible as quickly as possible. Brothers and sisters, that's the way it is right now with gathering votes. Get the low-hanging fruit. We all know people who are far out from us, far away from our position on the issues, and are going to vote for pro-abortion candidates. We all know people like that. But it's more important for us right now to go to the people who do agree with us already, because they might just need a little nudge, a little reminder, in order for their vote to be cast. And you can influence more of those kinds of people with a quick reminder than the people who are far off that you're going to have to argue with for hours before you convince them. Spend those hours gathering the low-hanging fruit. You belong to a prayer group? Is everybody in your prayer group ready to vote? Do they understand the monumental implications of this election? Make sure they do. You have a Bible study group, people you go to daily mass with? Are they all ready? Are they all engaged? Now, when you start talking to some of those people, some of them are saying, oh yeah, I'm against abortion, but I'm confused. There's so many other problems. Look at the war, for example. Let's say it one last time. There is no comparison. We don't go into other countries to deliberately target innocent people. Not a single one. But every single abortion targets an innocent person, tearing them apart. If a nation has to go to war, and the Pope has said again and again that sometimes that is justified, not only may a nation do it, sometimes a nation has to do it. When we do that, it is precisely for the defense of life, brothers and sisters. It is precisely for the protection of people. It is precisely for the advancement of freedom. Not for the destruction of life, but the very root, the very heart and core, the very nature of abortion, that it is for the destruction of the innocent. There is no comparison. If people are conflicted, there's one answer. Life always, always has to be protected. That's where you start. And when a nation says it's okay to destroy its own children, there's no way that nation is going to be able to secure the world if you can't even secure the child ready to be born. Some people within the church, God forgive them, have misrepresented the teachings of the church about the relative importance of the issue. And some of these people are in offices of ministry, and particularly the problem has emanated from some offices of, quote, justice and peace. Let me read what the president of the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace at the Vatican had to say recently in an interview we conducted with him, Cardinal Renato Martino. said the following: "The Holy Father speaks of the protection of life as the fundamental realization of human rights. Without that realization, without that respect for the right to life, no other discussion of human rights can continue." Bishop Elio Screcher, the vice president of the Pontifical Academy for Life at the Vatican, said, "Without respect for life, society simply does not exist. All other rights presuppose the right to life, and if the right to life is not defended," listen to what he says, "the defense of all these other rights is useless. It becomes a lie. Because it would mean that the defense to the right to work, to society, etc., applies only to some, not to all." Candidate comes forward and promises you all kinds of things and then says, "I support Roe v. Wade, I support a woman's right to choose." Don't listen to that person. That person is deceiving you. That person is basing his promises on a falsehood, on an illusion. And the illusion is that we can go ahead permitting the continued killing of children and somehow, on the basis of that, promote a just society. It's not going to happen. Brothers and sisters, let me say a word also to those who think that the pro-life candidates aren't pro-life enough. This is a razor-thin election. You might think that there's another candidate that's better than either of those that are one of whom is going to win. We have candidates who have a strong base of support, and then we have other candidates who have a much smaller base of support. But some of you might think, well, but those other candidates are better. And they may be. But I want you to think about this. If at this point, in an election that's so close, where the differences of the candidates is so severe, and the consequences of tens of millions of lives are so real, I ask you this. If you vote for that third-party candidate, if you vote for this other person that doesn't have the base of support, but because you think they have a better view, brothers and sisters, that other person is not going to get elected. By voting for that other person, you have to understand the consequences of your action. If you take away a vote from people who may in fact be elected and prevent the tens of millions of deaths, and they're not elected, and those tens of millions of deaths happen, you share responsibility for that. You share responsibility. When it's so close, you have to consider not just, oh, I see a better person over here. You have to consider what are the implications, the total implications of your action. You can use your vote to keep somebody worse out of office. It doesn't mean that you're canonizing the one that you vote for. It means that you're using your vote to keep a bigger tragedy from happening. And so I say a final word to my brother priests. This weekend, many people will be distributing literature, some of them coming right into your church parking lot and putting those candidate flyers on the cars. And again, I'm urging all of you to take part in this kind of activity. Again, call 888-735-3448. Our staff will help connect you with the people in your community who are organizing these literature distribution projects. But to the priests who somehow feel that they have an obligation to chase these people out of the parking lot, I ask you today, please leave them alone. Let them do what they're doing. My brother priests, you're not going to get in legal trouble, your parish is not going to get in legal trouble, if a parishioner finds a candidate flyer on their car. Because it wasn't an activity of the parish. It wasn't an expenditure of the church. If the church didn't organize this literature distribution or pay for it in support of a particular candidate, then the church cannot be blamed for intervening in politics in a way that it's not supposed to. Please leave these people alone. And if you're still not convinced, I'll point out to you that there are a lot of people ready to take legal action when their rights of free speech to their neighbors are impeded. They are ready to defend those rights. And I have heard from them, and I know that they are everywhere. They've had it up to here when when they know what's right and they try to participate in the life of society, and we who are supposed to be encouraging them squelch them, it's at the boiling point. I assure you, there will be all kinds of lawsuits in the weeks and months ahead if the good people out there across America who are trying to do their job, and it's a spiritual work of mercy, instructing the ignorant, spiritual work of mercy, when they're squelched, when they're told they don't have a right to do what they know they have a right to do, there will be problems. America, America, God shed His grace on thee. You know, there's a beautiful line in that hymn that says, O beautiful for pilgrim's feet, whose stern impassioned stress, a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. You and I, on one day, can beat by stern impassioned stress a thoroughfare for freedom for the next generation. What we do on this election day will shape the kind of society our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren will inherit. This is not just for us. And it's not even only just for those unborn children. It's for the born children that will grow up either in a culture of life or a startlingly horrifying culture of death. I have spoken to you passionately. I have pleaded with you. We have given you the tools. We've given you the encouragement. And again, I express to you my gratitude. Now it's up to you. And I know we will prevail. I know it for one reason. I know you. You respond. You do respond. And it's the grace of God right now calling you and equipping you. Let's do it, my friends. It's up to us. Let us bring about the victory. Amen.